evening, everyone. This is Joe Soro for the Lakers post-game and nightcap combination. With me tonight is Yami Sweet, Jamie Sweet from SoCal. It's a SoCal night here on a Tuesday. The Lakers just defeated the Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans, 110-106, to advance to the playoffs officially, and will now face, as a 7 seed, the 2 seed Denver Nuggets. There's been some discussion here, Jamie, where some people wanted the Lakers to lose tonight and risk possibly losing to Sacramento or Golden State on Friday, but I wasn't in that boat. Were you in that boat?
No. Listen, months ago, I started saying if it comes down to months ago, I wanted Denver. This is the clash of the Titans. We don't need the preamble. Let's get straight to the meat and potatoes. Let's not beat around the bush. I could come up with more, you know, analogies or whatever those are called. You don't play with that kind of fire in the playoffs. You win when you can win. You move forward when you can move forward. And you're going to play the best. Why shy away from it? Why try to weasel your way around the bush? And it just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand the math. I understand the quote unquote logic, but from a competitive standpoint, from a sports standpoint, I certainly don't want to see my team doing that. Like, go for it. You want to beat the best. Denver's the best. They're the world champs. And, you know, would you rather face them in the first round when there's a little more time between games, when you're still fresh, when you haven't gone from 2-3 grueling 6-7 game playoff series? Yes. In my opinion, yes. That's when you want to face Denver, when you're at your freshest. So this is the best. This is the best scenario, because if we advance, we're the favorites. We're the team that took the champs out. And that's a nice little boost of morale for some of the guys who haven't really had a lot of playoff exposure. And, you know, why tease yourself? Like, last season, let's be honest, once we got to the Western Conference Finals, everybody was thinking playoffs, and then it didn't happen. It was just a big tease. If we're going to get bounced, it doesn't matter when we get bounced, right? Western Conference Finals, if you're the Charlotte Hornets, that's exciting, right? That's exciting for the Charlotte Hornets. That would be, you might even put that up on a wall, right? For the Lakers, it's an afterthought. It's an afterthought for the Los Angeles Laker franchise. And it just doesn't make sense to me to root for anything else but facing the best. So I'm stoked. I'm stoked. I was never in that boat. I will never be in that boat. I want us to just win. Win every time. Even if it means it's the harder path. Because it is the harder path. Everything about this path makes it harder. You end up having to, I think if we beat Denver, then I think we have to play the winner of Dallas Clippers. What's up, Sean? What's up, everybody? Hello, hello, hello. Hello, all. There's a cat coming into my room, but it's really a small human girl. Those are my two bits. I was never in the let's skate around and avoid the big scary monster in the room. Let's whip out our swords and fight that thing.
I think it's a good point. The interesting part about this game, at least for me, was the dynamics of the first 2.5 quarters versus the last quarter and a half. This was Zion Williamson's coming out party, so to speak. I feel bad for him. I feel bad because he actually performed tonight the way that they've been waiting for this for a good amount of time here. And he was probably on his way to winning this based off how the Lakers were adjusting, based off the rotations in that last quarter. I thought Darvin Ham had a pretty good amount of decision-making here this last few weeks, and he kind of didn't work Rui in correctly tonight. I think it ended up costing them. But I'd have to look back at the game and see if there was a reason for that. It was Rui not paying attention to certain things, and maybe you had to take him out. Maybe you wanted to spread the floor out a little bit. I don't know. Torian Prince only played 22 minutes. I think Spencer Dinwiddie not being effective kind of put Darvin in a weird spot. And I think that's something they need to work on. My worry, ultimately, or before I get to Sean and John here, is my worry is you cannot do what they just did against Denver. Otherwise, it's four out.
Yeah,
that was a bad sign, and that's what I'm worried about right now. And they're going to need to tighten something up there. Otherwise, it's not going to be a long series here, next series. So, Magic Man, I know you got here quick, or you got here. I think, John, did you get here before Magic Man? I couldn't tell with the boxes.
I honestly have no idea.
Okay. Anyways, I'm gonna start with Magic Man here. Magic, welcome. It's been a while since you've been on the post game. I know you've been on the nightcap here a few times, but your assessment of the game in general. You know, the Lakers statistically weren't bad, but there was something missing there that last quarter. They hit most of their free throws. They shot really well from 3-point, but I thought they took too many bad shots in this game when they didn't have to. So what's your assessment on this? What do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly, especially in the last 6.5 minutes of the fourth quarter, which was a drag to watch. That being said, I mean, you know, I'm not going to do the whole Herm Edwards thing, but you play to win the game. Like, this, if you've ever attempted anything, whether it's martial arts, soccer, basketball, eventually you're going to come up against somebody who's bigger and stronger than you are, Joe. And what are you going to do? You're not say, no, I'll take that guy over there. No, you draw who you draw. You fight who you fight. And you play to win the fight. That's the object of the game. And this whole I don't want to get into a whole spiel here, but it's a symptom of our society, really, when some Laker fans say, well, let's lose the playing game and try and draw a better opponent. Well, are you, if you're such a soothsayer, you're Merlin, then you would know the lottery numbers for Powerball. And you would also predict that, you know, no one's going to twist an ankle, twist a knee, slip on Coca-Cola that spilled on the floor. I mean, anything can happen in a sporting event. That's why it says for entertainment purposes only on the back of it. Anything can happen. So you play who you play. You got to win every game you play. This whole attitude of, yeah, you know what? Let's just lose and hope we win the next one. That's buffoonery. That's why Mike Greenberg is a Jets fan. You know, you're a loser. You'll always be a loser.
That guy is such a damn pussy. Sorry, Gerald. Jesus Christ.
No. You can say it, Joe.
That guy whined so much. I remember when they were doing the 30 for 30 for Bo Jackson and they interviewed him, and he goes, when they found out that he was going to go play baseball, he's like, I was upset. I was disappointed. Oh, man, shut the hell up and go back in your house, man. Like, seriously, like, is that your, like, what do you mean you're disappointed? You know, like, get a life. I mean, we love sports.
But that's That's loser talk.
It makes sense. And we've talked about the loser mentality and how it's developed. We talked a lot about the Cleveland City. The Cleveland City has that mentality a lot. And if not for LeBron in 2016, their last championship, if you count the Cleveland Browns the first time in 64, that was the last time they had won a championship in the city of Cleveland. But I don't even know if they count that, because technically it's an NFL championship, not a Super Bowl.
And that's when
turning into Dr. Evil. So
back in the 60s, we had these things called lasers.
Yeah. For the chair. Anyways, for those of
the Heat didn't have that mindset last year when they were the seventh seed. They did not have that mindset. If Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra even sniffed out that somebody had their mindset, you know what would happen to them, Joe? That that's not what we do here.
No.
That's not part of your mindset. So there's your seat. Take a seat. Right. And when the season's over, you'll go into Pat's office and he'll tell you thank you for your services. They're no longer required. Get your loser ass out of here.
Great point. I do want to point out something that Jay just said. I don't know if you guys paid attention to the last few seconds of the game. What the hell was Reggie Miller yapping about? If they win, maybe they should miss the free throw. So that I'm like, dude, there's 2.7 seconds left. If he hits both of them, it's over anyways.
Teams talk about this sort of thing. No, they don't.
Reggie,
we know you want to bring up the 9 points in 8 seconds every minute of your life, but come on, man.
This one was bad. This was even worse than we've been saying. Like, Reggie Miller has progressively gotten worse. See, here's why Marv Albert was one of the best. Marv Albert used to crack on Reggie so bad, and people didn't even realize. Like, you have to be someone like us. Right,
choking there somewhere.
To really get that kind of stuff, most people live mundane lives. They couldn't laugh at a fart joke, right? Like, they're just that weak. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean miss a free throw?
No, I know.
Hit them both and the game is over. Like, that's like, hello. So anyways,
should the Lakers open the door to lose the game?
I don't know. Maybe he wanted that shot. But again, for those of you who've joined in late, the Lakers defeated the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. This is the second time in 3 days that they beat New Orleans in New Orleans. So there's an accomplishment there. Anthony Davis had 20 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 blocks. He had an okay game, but hey, he showed up, played 40 minutes.
LeBron James, swap that pick. Go ahead.
LeBron James.
Swap that pick.
LeBron James ran out of gas, I think, in the end, guys. And this is a scary thing right now. The Lakers have to figure this out. Otherwise, we're going to see this happening again against Denver. So this has to be figured out. I don't know if it can, but I'm gonna go to John here. John, I'm assuming you watched the entire game here. What's your assessment on? I mean, we could talk about the first 2.5 quarters. I was pretty happy with that. But are you in agreement that the Lakers looked like they ran out of gas there and maybe there was some mental fatigue also with how Zion was just kind of dominating them?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, for like how you said, first half, I loved it. D'Angelo Russell, he was coming alive in that first quarter. And one of the things that I really liked about D'Angelo Russell in that first quarter is that he wasn't, you know, doing too much. And when I say this, I feel like Lakers fans are going to feel me. There's some times when D'Angelo Russell, when he hits one or two, then he starts doing a little bit too much. And it's like, all right, D'Lo, that was a terrible shot. But I feel like in that first quarter, he picked his spots at the right time. When it was time to pass it, he would pass it. When it was time for him to be aggressive, look for a shot, he would do that. He ended up with 13 points. Just in that first quarter, and then the second quarter, man, our defense, that right there is a defense that they just need to take that film session of those 12 minutes in that second quarter and say, look, this is a defense that you guys are expected to play for the rest of the playoffs. Because, man, like, I believe it was six minutes and 30 seconds where the Pelicans did not score a field goal. Like, that is crazy. And that right there is what gave us a comfortable lead. And I felt like until crunch time, until about like 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, we were up. I mean, we were in a good position because of that great defense that we played in that second quarter. But what's upsetting to me and the reason why I'm happy about the win, but I'm like, man, if we do this against Denver, like it's over. It's over. Like, we cannot do this against Denver. Like, we had this game over. We had this game in a wrap. Again, we outscored them 34-16 in that second quarter. It wasn't even about the offensive end. It was about the defensive end that made the biggest impact. And we could have kept that rolling, but then we got lazy. We ran out of gas. And that's just – that's it's crazy when you're running out of gas in the first game in the play-in, right? Like, this isn't game seven of Western Conference Finals. So, I mean, it was unfortunate, but hey, a win's a win, and now we've earned Denver. So, and honestly, just like how Jamie and, I mean, and Magic Man and all you guys said, we got to go through them eventually, right? And I'll be honest, like, I wasn't of the band saying, like, oh, let's lose because I think that, you know, the analogy I try to think of is, like, you know those people that work harder to cheat than they do just to study? It's like, yo, like, if you were just to study, you wouldn't even have to do all that you're doing to cheat. I feel like that'd be the analogy of, you know, if we lost this game, because then we can't guarantee the next game or whatnot. But, hey, we're going to have to see him eventually. Might as well see him with a healthy LeBron and healthy AD when, I guess, they're least gassed as possible. But...
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cool.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lakers defeat the Pelicans 110-106. Mr. Sweet, I have a question for you.
Oh, man, I hope I say the right thing.
Am I over analyzing the fact that that fourth quarter and maybe half the third is a sign for things to come?
No. I think there were a few things that went wrong. One was that the bench was ineffective in the third quarter when they got a little bit of run. Nobody could contain Zion, and they closed the gap. I thought that the Lakers didn't use – I'm not a fan – this is going to come as a surprise to everybody. I'm not a fan of how Coach Ham uses his timeouts. the other team's going on a run, hits a three, Zion gets a dunk, they get a steal, bucket in transition, hit another three, Coach stands there. And I don't understand if he hasn't earned the coaching stripes to say, like, well, my coaching philosophy is just so sound, I'm going to let him figure it out, which was the Phil Jackson way. Phil Jackson came to that way after winning rings, not a ring, rings. And so with great players who could figure it out. When you're watching Rui Hachimura, Gabe Vincent, D'Angelo Russell, LeBron, and you know, Torian Prince not figuring it out, that you're not giving LeBron the right guys. Maybe Gabe Vincent. And I thought this is actually one of Torian's better games. Again, we've got a great record when he plays under 25 minutes. And he hit his shots. And so I just think that, you know, in those moments when the second unit isn't that effective, and because the team seems to think that running a play for Rui Hachimura is some sort of sin against the Lord, even though the guys can get score inside, score outside, can hit, the guy can shoot from like all over the court, yet he seems to only get the broken plays. That's the Rui Hachimura play. You shoot it, Rui. And so I don't understand that. There's ways you can score when you want to run the clock out that don't involve LeBron standing 40 feet from the basket with the basketball for 18 to 19 seconds, watching a Steve Miller song as time slips away into the future, and then try to create something magical. This isn't the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Run a play. Just run a play. Put the ball in somebody else's hands. And that's a little bit of that's on LeBron, right? LeBron has to pass the ball. Somebody else has to come up to him and say, like, you look tired, buddy. How about I take it across half court? Things of that nature don't seem to me crazy. And but when you watch, if you go back and watch, it's like LeBron comes down, gets the ball, walks it across the court. stops because he's exhausted, passes it back. So he has
it seems like the only one
and we
who
wait.
Really caught on to that was Austin Reeves. Like,
yes, finally he started being like, no, we need to move. Like, he started in the last 6 minutes, 5 minutes of the game. Yes, that's an astute observation, Sean. I totally agree. And that's what drives me a little bit crazy about D'Lo, is that like he can so easily slip into a very comfortable place of you're the man.
Comfortably numb him, being the off-ball shooter. Yeah,
he's totally okay with it. And when he's 10% more aggressive, I'm not even saying you've got to be like, you know, Russell Westbrook aggressive. Just 10% more aggressive than regular D'Angelo Russell is enough. It's enough to make an impact on the energy and tenor and everything of the game, the pace especially. So I to me, I thought, and we totally took our foot off the gas as a team. That's on the coaching staff. You gotta, as soon as you see that, you call a timeout and you break a clipboard. They're free. Break one, break two, break one. You know, like McGuire and Sosa used to do when they were roided up, hitting home runs, and then they'd strike out and they'd crunch a bat on their own. All that, come on, man. Like, get some fire in the...
It's more demonstrative than, like, throwing a tablet out on the court.
Yeah,
throwing
that
big, huge electronic device out there. Just take a clipboard and ram it over your knee.
Chromebooks are, like, $12 at the swap meet. I mean, just, come on, man. Like, break something. Go get pissed. Like, this is the playoffs, or whatever it is. It's the almost
it's
sort
a playoff.
Of not really
it's playoffs.
Playoffs. Right, I know. It should be called the playoffs, but the stats don't count. So I just call it the almost sort of kind of not really playoffs.
It's the
almost kind of sort of not really playoffs. Get yourself in the right mind frame to win the next series, which I agree is going to take a lot better execution down the stretch, because the way Denver beats us is they toy with you like a cat with a mouse for three quarters, and then they just murder you.
And with that, the schedule has come out. Time is still up in the air, and on Jamie Sweet's favorite day of the year, 4:20, this Saturday, the Lakers will meet the Denver Nuggets in Denver, in the Mile High City, to possibly maybe shock the world.
Giggity.
Sean, are the Lakers going to shock the world Saturday?
I don't know. I don't pretend to know, Joe.
You don't know?
That's the best answer.
John, are the Lakers going to shock the world? The Lakers are going to have 3 full days off to get acclimated to that air, the thin air.
Is there any news yet from Lakers reporter Mike Trudell or McTen that they're flying? Like, because I would fly right from New Orleans to Denver. I wouldn't even go back to L.A. Like, I wouldn't
these
even
guys,
loop around.
These guys are primos. They're not going to not go home. They're going to go home and play with their
I'd stay out on the road, Joe. We've won 6 in a row on the road. I'd stay out on the road as long
let's
as
let's
possible.
Flip a coin. Are they going to go home or are they going to go to Denver? I don't
see. I vote they go to Denver. I mean, not
they
that
better
I
go to Denver.
Yeah, everybody I think wants him to go to Denver.
Go to a nice steakhouse tonight, and then I'd take a red eye right to
Denver. Bourbon Street tonight, then red eye, then Denver.
You got 2 days. Usually takes a day to get acclimated. You know, Friday at practice, you should be good to go.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah. Look, Joe, if they're gonna pop him in the mouth, they have to do it in game one. Because I think all the signs are pointing to trying to pop them in the mouth. If you get them in game one, you get that split. But the unfortunate part is whenever you roll into Denver, Utah, it's that first 10 minutes. It's usually that first 10. It doesn't matter whether it's what sport you're playing in that altitude. It's usually the first 10 minutes that tell the tale.
Yep.
If you could survive the first 10 minutes, you give yourself a shot. But if you've come out lackluster and here's the thing, Joe, does it really make sense to fly from New Orleans back to LA and then to Denver? That's a lot of road tripping. I would fly right from New Orleans on a red eye to Denver.
Here's why they're flying to LA. They didn't anticipate playing New Orleans on a back-to-back. I'm sure and then going to Denver. Like you have, I mean, they would have had they would have had to have said, "Hey, we're going to beat New Orleans and then have to stay there and beat them again, and then we'll fly to Denver." So they would have had to have packed for what, a week and a half.
They can put Jeannie on a plane with everybody's luggage.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, have you seen their film room? This is a $10 billion team. Have you seen their film room?
Yeah,
but they all got it. They all got. They all got
my closet,
Joe. They all got stylists.
Got the mirror.
Yeah, they all got stylists. They pay 150 G's a year for to put them in their skinny jeans and those.
Joe, are you concerned that
those weird
the guys didn't pack enough underwear?
$500 shirts they wear. You can pack a couple of those and meet them at the airport.
You can just hit the laundromat and like wash whatever clothes you brought to, you know, that you got barbecue sauce on.
Well, Robert has a question. John and Joe, do you think since the Lakers have 3 days off before playing Denver, should the Lakers play LeBron and AD 43 minutes each and go all in on winning game one, even if they gassed for game two? John, that's a great question. What do you think?
That is a great question. I don't know about 43 minutes in game one. I'm not going to lie, because trying to get through the series with them. But what I will say is that game one is extremely important. And if we could steal that, great. But I don't think we should risk the rest of the series from the health of LeBron and AD just try to steal that first game.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game one, because – I got a bad taste today, guys. I'm not very happy with how this ended. And I know Zion had a career game. I know he had a kind of career-defining game. Unfortunately, it ended badly for him. But the reason why it's bothering me is because this is how they usually lose to Denver, is they run out of gas in the end. And LeBron ran out of gas tonight. Again, yeah. AD was playing hurt. I think his spasms were still bothering him. It loosened up a little bit towards the end, but I don't know if he was really playing at full tilt there. And then Darvin Ham, I think, didn't analyze well during the game. I thought when they were up, when they were up 13, I think they should have distanced themselves a little bit more. I remember, what was it? Was it the end of the second quarter? Or no, I think it might have been the second quarter where I think they were making a run. It might have been the third, too. They were kind of going on a run without LeBron there. Then he brought them back, I thought, too early. I think they should have just kind of rolled with that, and then you would have had a much more fresh LeBron where you could go. You know, you can go to the basket. He was spending a lot of energy, guys, going to the basket. And Darren, thanks for the super chat. For Jamie Sweet. Take on the Lakers running out of gas. Jamie, why are you painting your nails?
Oh, because I'm
you're
a sexy
you're
beast.
A man. You should be painting your nails.
I'm a sexy beast, Joe. I'm a sexy beast.
Oh, so you're now
the first overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft paints his nails. So
that's right. That's right.
You're Ben Kingsley now. Is that what that is?
Ben Kingsley's made a lot of money and is a funny guy. I'll be Ben Kingsley. I got better hair than Ben, though, so I got him beat. I got him beat in that department.
That's good.
I mean, the Lakers ran out of gas. I don't know that they ran out of gas. I think that New Orleans like figured out how to play intense basketball over the course of this game, and especially Zion. And they stopped, like, I mean, for lack of a better word, they just stopped dicking around. Like, they put the ball in the best player's hands and said, "Dude, go win us the game," and he almost did. And he might have if he hadn't, whatever happened, you know. I don't know. I don't know if that's a sports book injury or if that's a or if it's legit, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it was the timing of it was awful for the Pelicans. It's you know, I don't know how else to put it. I'm serious. The timing of it felt a lot like a sports book injury. I'm just saying. You know, there's a Caesar's Palace right around the corner from Smoothies King Center. So, you know, I don't know. I think Fidel Castro painted his nails, Angel.
In private?
I think Fidel was down for anything at least once. And so,
just anyway. Ask Margaret Trudeau.
That's right. That's right.
Sean, I got a funny story about that line. My buddy and I said something in that world of what he just said. I won't. I can't say it on air because
off air.
But I'll tell you off air, man. One of the most hilarious responses ever. So remind me. But the show has now turned into a Fidel Castro used G strings too.
Hey. Topic.
That's good. Welcome to the welcome to the anti-communist Lakers fast break, folks. And my colleagues here, Jamie Sweet, John Costa, and of course the Magic Man, Sean Grice. And I'm gonna go back to Sean here. Sean, am I concerned? Is my concern a good one?
Yes, it's valid.
On this next game, because I don't think they started playing bad at the end. I think think the guys lost steam.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think we won a first quarter against them in any of the four games. So
I don't think so.
Why don't you start with that? How about getting off to a good start and having a lead after a first quarter and building up what we call that word momentum. Momentum is very transient in NBA playoff basketball, Joe. It comes and then it goes. It's like a wave. And the Lakers, unfortunately, like you said, LeBron, and by the way, LeBron's likely to play 43 minutes anyway. He averaged, I think, almost 43 against Denver. It was like 42.5. Somebody could check that out for me, but it was 42.5 or more than that. Anyway, yeah, fatigue makes cowards of us all. I know that's kind of a cliche, Joe, but that's a great Vince Lombardi line. And he was right about that. It's like, it's about conditioning yourself for the moment, because when that moment comes and the pressure is at its highest and most fierce, that's when you separate the wheat from the chaff. And Denver just separated themselves from us in every single fourth quarter last year, and it's spilled over into this season. So I think your concern is valid. I will say this though, it's been a couple years and Denver's not getting any younger either. Those guys are veterans now too. So it's not as if they have this huge edge in energy and stamina and conditioning. They're all NBA athletes playing at the height of their ability, at the acme of this sport. And you should be able to take on that responsibility and focus and put together a solid series. It's not going to be a quick series. That's the way you need to look at it. It's going to be long. It's going to be a long series, guys. And you got to grind it out.
Can't go seven, though.
Not in Denver, you can't.
Can't go seven.
Not in Denver.
Angel had a great question. What would be our strategy, rotation-wise, matching up with Murray and Jokic in a two-man game? The only way you match up with that is
who's playing defense for the Lakers. Is it Gabe Vincent? Because I feel a lot better about checking Jamal Murray this time around if Gabe Vincent is running around with like a chicken with his head cut off, because that dude is wiry strong and he can get around those big dudes in those little seams that they create. Because normally what happens is Jokic is a solid dude. He's thick. So normally when he sets a screen, there's almost no room to maneuver. But Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., they're a little taller. Porter Jr.'s a little skinnier. Gabe Vincent can move around those guys. But Jokic is solid. It's going to be hard to get around screens with him. But with the other two guys, depending on who you have, either Reeves or Gabe Vincent, you can get around them. I would not at any point at all try and ask D'Angelo Russell to go against Murray. We saw what happened last year when that happened. They looked for him. They attacked him. And that can't happen again.
My segue to that analysis is to John, who's a big fan of D'Angelo Russell. My answer is you're going to have D'Angelo in there. And obviously he's not likely a better defender than Gabe Vincent, but you cannot eliminate the offensive prowess of D'Angelo Russell. You have to use that. And if you have to eat it between Jokic and Jamal Murray, so be it. The issue with Denver, more than even Jamal's going to do what he does. And I know he's been doing it in the clutch late. But the issues that the Lakers have had with the Denver Nuggets is Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon. Mm-hmm. Those other guys are somewhat contained or somewhat kind of playing a little bit more one-on-one or two-on-two. Those other guys are covering what they aren't doing when they're not doing it. And that's the problem. So I asked John, can D'Angelo Russell tighten the screws a little bit more on defense? He's not going to stop anybody, but can he tighten it enough to keep his value while he's playing and shoot the way he's been shooting?
You know, I feel like it's good to set expectations to where we won't let ourselves down, because while I agree, yes, D'Angelo Russell's defense has got to be better, but he's just slow-feeded. Like he cannot move them puppies fast. And if you play basketball, you got to know that, like, for you to play defense, like, your feet got to move quick. Like that's what you got to do. That's what 95% of the time is a telltale sign of a good defender. Are you quick with your feet? Are you quick on your feet? And he's just not. But what I think he will do and how he can minimize that defensive, his like inefficiencies, his struggles on defense, is being that offensive firepower, is being that catch and shoot phenom that he's been, is being aggressive, like how we were talking about earlier, where he needs to look for his shot a little bit more. So that's where I feel like he's going to minimize his inefficiencies on defense, is just by him being that offensive firepower. But as far as perimeter defenders, after Vando's went down, after Cam's went down, it's made it hard, because like those guys were like our quote unquote like perimeter defenders, and they weren't even top, they weren't even that great, right? But I think what we're gonna have to do as far as because I did just want to get into that like kind of like that Denver rotation and then Jamal Murray and Jokic. I think on every single screen, we're going to have to blitz Jamal Murray. So every single time after he comes out of that pick and roll, blitz him, force him to make a quick decision at the top of the court. And then on Jokic, so I'm going to be honest, guys. Joe, I think you were alluding to this like when you were just talking about, when MPJ's hidden, when Aaron Gordon's hidden, that's when they're really dangerous. And I absolutely agree. And I think that's when Jokic is most dangerous, is when he's just getting everybody involved. So I know this is going to sound crazy, because this is what the Hawks did on Luka, and Luka went off for 70. But I don't think you should double Jokic. I really don't think you should double Jokic. Allow that to be an Anthony Davis and Jokic matchup. And so that to where we're not allowing these backdoor cuts. Like the four of these guys, we're gonna shut them down, and we're gonna basically say, Jokic, you're gonna have to be a scorer all throughout this 7-game series, and you're gonna have to be scoring on Anthony Davis, who's the candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, all throughout the 7-game series, and we're gonna see how that goes, because I guarantee you guys, it's a lot worse when Jokic has 15 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists, versus I'd rather him have 27 points, seven assists or something like that, to be honest with you. So at the end of the day, I think that's how we are going to have to guard the Denver Nuggets, because we suck at – we always fall asleep on defense. Like, how many times did LeBron fall asleep on defense tonight? That happens to us so many times, and I think that the Denver Nuggets will really make us pay for that. So what we should do is, instead of sending the help, because it's when the help comes, that it's when the double comes, that somebody's Jokic – I mean, that somebody's open and Jokic just finds them, like, eyes on the back of his head. So that's why I say – let's force Jokic to be a scorer and see what comes out of that.
Again, the Lakers. Sorry, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, no, I was going just piggybacking off what Sean was saying. I was going to quote my man Omar Little from The Wire. No, you see, Omar likes it simple. Omar likes it simple. So here's the simplistic response to people worrying about the minutes, Joe. When the minutes, Jokic and Murray are off the floor because their bench is weak. Their bench is weak. They don't have Bruce Brown. They don't have Jeff Green, two guys that killed us last year. And they rely on Christian Braun and Peyton Watson to make the most of those minutes. Now, what I would do, Joe, I would stagger AD and LeBron's minutes with Jokic and Murray off the floor. One of them goes off, the other one goes off, one stays on. Because their bench is weak and you can take advantage of it. It was formidable last year, Joe. That's why Denver was able to win their series, because if you look at it, they won the minutes when Jokic and Murray were off the floor against Minnesota. They won the minutes Jokic and Murray were off the floor against Phoenix. They won the minutes that they were off the floor against the Lakers, and they did it against the Heat. They don't have that kind of bench production this year. They don't have vets to rely on off the bench either. One of the reasons why Christian Braun played so well against the Lakers is because he played with Bruce Brown and he played with Jeff Green on the floor. And those guys are two vets that he could lean on. That's why he was able to look so good against guys like Austin Reeves, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards. He was able to check those guys because those guys had to work just as hard with him on them as they did when KCP was on them. Now, when Denver subs out KCP and they sub out Aaron Gordon, they don't have that kind of plethora of veteran talent to rely on. So you need to win the minutes that they're off the floor. If you don't win the minutes that Jokic and Murray are off the floor, you're definitely not going to win in a 7-game series.
I agree. And the most important part here is the Lakers don't necessarily have a lot of depth either, which means their five are going to be all just as important as the other in this. There cannot be a dead game by Austin Reeves. There cannot be a dead game by D'Angelo Russell and even Rui.
Nope.
The starting five must finish these games, and they must finish efficiently. If they start doing too much hero ball, I know LeBron has a tendency of making it make sense because he makes the shots, but it only matters if he does, and a lot of times he doesn't. It's not good basketball. It's harder. He's not necessarily a shooter. You know, he can get it hot. He can get on a heat check and win games, but it would be best that that's not what you're relying on. I didn't like how they distributed the ball to AD today. They weren't doing this for a while, and all of a sudden they went back to this. And maybe it was New Orleans' adjustments that helped, and they couldn't readjust from it. But I don't like AD getting the ball 20 feet from the basket. I hate when they do that. They got to stop doing that. If that's what they're going to do, and I think they might have not been establishing deep in the post, and then they kind of get ruffled up, and then they get into this ISO thing. New Orleans adjusted. Willie Green adjusted, and then Zion did what he is supposed to do at this point in his career. Unfortunately, he did get injured. It doesn't look very good. I think it's going to be an abdominal situation. It looked like when he was on the sideline, it looked like you could see that he might have pulled something. I'm going to have you say that loud there, Jamie, so that you know everyone hears you. The issue in the end is can the chess match that the two coaches play be won by Darvin Ham? That's going to be a question we're going to need to find out. And good luck with that. I guess since I'm asking it, Jamie. Is that a valid question? Who do you see winning that matchup?
I mean, that's like, you know, a five-year-old going to play against some chess master in the park in New York, and they're just going to get their clock.
So you're saying Michael Brown is a chess master? Or could Darvinham just
Mike,
be that?
Mike, you mean Mike Malone, right?
Michael.
I'm sorry. Michael Malone.
Whatever. Mikey Malone. Mikey
Malone. What did I call him?
You called him
Mike Brown.
Brown.
Michael Brown? Oh, yeah. Michael Brown, Malone, all the same thing. Yeah, sorry.
They were on the same staff once. It's easy to get them confused.
Sorry, yeah, and, they did. Yeah, they looked the same, too.
both coached in Sacramento, so that's there's all sorts of synchronicity there. You got to give the edge to Mikey Malone. He's taken a team all the way to the NBA Finals and won it. He pushed all the right buttons the entire NBA playoffs last season, and he did great. So Coach Ham has not done that yet. So I got to give the edge to. I tend to give the edge to the guy who's done it better. And I don't think there's really any debate that Mike Malone has proven himself to be a more complex, a more intuitive and quicker thinker on his feet in game than Coach Ham has proven himself to be at this point. That's not to say that we won't see something different or unique. You know, maybe to start the series, we put LeBron on Jokic and let AD elitely protect the rim like we want him to, as opposed to playing up at the top of the key, guarding Jokic, where he likes to operate. That'll stop LeBron from ball watching because he'll be on the ball. I don't see Jokic being able to bully LeBron down into the post. And I think that LeBron can take that challenge. The problem with that is that who's going to score the basketball come the fourth quarter, and LeBron's been banging with Jokic for 30, 40 minutes. So there's no good answer here. There's no, and we're certainly not going to figure it out here, but we'll see what happens come Saturday. And that'll be exciting. I have to go put my little kid to bed. So I will bid you all adieu. Go Lakers. Good win. Darren, I hope I said all the right things. I hope every single thing I said was just a perfect thing. You know, when you say just the perfect thing, a perfect conversation. It was a perfect conversation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's for all your Kirby enthusiasm fans out there. All right.
Hey, Jamie, you take care of yourself, huh?
Sports book.
You take care of yourself, huh? With your nails. With your nails.
I take care of everything, baby.
Joe, did you ever attend a tea party that your daughters had?
No, I don't do that kind of stuff.
That was a long hesitation there. I'm going to say you'd have.
No, where the hell did John go?
You kicked John out, Joe.
No, he's here. There you go. Sorry, Johnny. No, I don't do that. Guys, you got to understand something. You guys got to understand something here, okay? It's very important that you listen, okay? Listen, I love my daughters and I will protect them with my life. And I am a dad. I am a man. I am a father. I am a protector. I am a husband. And I understand that the awe moments with family and especially girls, but it's not going to work. It's just not going to work where I'm going to be sitting there doing this. Because my daughters want me to do it. Okay. Now,
but they asked you to do it before.
I'll play an act, right? But I mean, tea, I don't consider too bad, but I'm not painting my nails. Okay. I'm not going to be wearing high heels. I'm not going to wear a skirt. I'll wear a kilt. I guess you could call that a skirt.
That is not a skirt.
There you go.
Blasphemous mouth on you. That is.
Yeah. And
that
again,
is a warrior's.
My children know who their dad is already. They've known since they were 5, 4 years old. They figured me out way before. So these discussions,
a cool lot would be along the same lines.
It's just not gonna happen. Okay, those kind of things just don't happen. I'm here to be this, and either deal with it or don't.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Back to the game. The Lakers, someone had pointed out that this is the sixth straight road game that the Lakers have won. We didn't look at that. Mm-hmm. We did not look at that. And, or at least I didn't think of that. This is a team that was struggling on the road, and they came out the gates here since that six-game road trip with some really, really good road wins, especially these last two. We forget how good New Orleans is. Unfortunately, Brandon Ingram has been injured, and he hasn't really been the same. And, of course, the one game that Zion has his breakout career moment, he has to get hurt, which was very disappointing. And I would even say that if he doesn't get hurt, there's a very big possibility that the Lakers might have lost this game. Currently, right now, I believe the Kings are beating the Warriors pretty badly. Let me see what the score is here. I don't 48-38. Yeah, well, I guess it's not too bad. So, but I actually think that Sacramento might have the edge there, and I think Golden State might have blown their wad against us. I think that was their last great game, at least for this particular team. They're going to have some big decisions to make there. But I don't know how to – I don't like how the game ended. It looked very familiar, and it usually would happen to Denver. I'm hoping that this rest here the next 3 days solves some of these issues. I don't know where I'm going to go with what the status will be in this series, how it'll end. I don't really know, and I don't really want to think about it. I want to watch the game on Saturday and kind of get an idea of what is brought to us and what the Lakers can put together. What is getting very interesting in the NBA in general in the playoffs is the teams that were supposed to be good are have been riddled with injuries. There's word that Kawhi might not be ready for game one against Dallas. We already know that Kawhi Leonard is not going to last till the finals, so the Clippers are likely going to bounce. Dallas is a good team, obviously, with Luka, but we're not likely going to an area where I don't Luka and the merry minimums, basically. It's just that's what's left at this point with him. Then you have Minnesota, not experienced. Oklahoma City, not experienced. It's very – and then the East is the East. I'm not even going to get into that. Will the Lakers look at this game and go, man, if we win this series, there's a shot. There's a legitimate shot at winning it all.
Well, they're in the weakest part of the bracket they could be in. So, I mean, if you get by Denver, then you play the winner of Minnesota
and Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right. And likely that's going to be the Suns, and the Lakers have played fairly well against the Suns this year. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, Joe. Getting ahead of ourselves.
Well, that's all I can it's a little bit of well, this is really the only way you can look at this. What is
our okay? Let me ask you a question because I tried getting you an answer, but now since you asked the question, allow me to retort. Barring a serious injury, Joe Soro, is there any conceivable path for the Minnesota Timberwolves to beat the Phoenix Suns? Even with possibly four home games.
I think Minnesota can beat Phoenix.
You think they can beat them? Okay. Yes. They're 0-3 this year against them so far.
Yes. I think they can beat them. Because I don't trust Phoenix like I don't trust the Warriors. They have this star power, but sometimes they kind of lull themselves to sleep. Devin Booker has been known to disappear in the most crucial moments. If it wasn't for that, if Devin Booker got over that hump, I mean, it cost them a championship because of it. Mm-hmm. If he had just been able to make a few shots in that series, they'd probably sweep Milwaukee. I don't trust Devin Booker. Kevin Durant, since he left Oklahoma City, has been an ornery, disheveled, depressed person. It's sad because he was usually pretty enthusiastic, but he got destroyed. He is a big victim of social media and how social media can destroy your life and destroy your personality. I'm not just blaming it on social media, but he's that guy because I remembered for years when they won those championships in Golden State, it would be any championship and somebody would write means more than Durant's two championships at Golden State. Like he had to probably read that day in and day out, had to be told that every day. So when you have that kind of psyche, I don't know if I can trust you either. You haven't been able to win since you left Golden State because you're too busy worrying about proving something to people you shouldn't give two craps about. Who cares what the freaking whatever said? Like, why do you care what a bunch of losers online say about you? And that's what those people are. You know, I've trolled online before, but I'm trolling other idiots. I'm not sitting there going, hey, Durant.
No, you're not a world-class athlete arguing with
Are you really going, like, and some of these idiots who go and throw trash on their lawns and threaten their daughters and their wives, like, what kind of piece of shit are you throwing trash on their lawns? This was a Tommy Maddox thing back in 03.
Really?
Yes, but it's been more. I mean, there's been other things even recently that have happened.
Okay.
And yeah, and your what was it? I think it was Willie Green, wasn't it? Some coach got messed with because of the gambling.
That was JB Bickerstaff.
Bickerstaff, that's who it was. Like, what is this? Like, who? Like, what kind of stupid morons actually think that that's actually okay to do? Like, what are you doing? Like, you shouldn't be breathing air when you're doing stupid stuff like that. Stay away from people and stay away from their house and stay away from their family because you're a freaking degenerate who lost. You're a
degenerate gambler. Okay, that's right.
Go eat shit and go away. Like, seriously, that stuff, if you want to know what puts it into 9 RPM, it's stupid stuff like that.
Those guys, I agree, Joe.
Guys need a boot to the face, seriously. But the Lakers right now, I have to see how they perform here.
I understand what you mean. You got the result you wanted, but it was bittersweet. That bitterness is how you basically were on fumes for the last 6.5 minutes of that game.
Mm-hmm. And that's not good. I don't like it because New Orleans, despite Zion's effort, if they run out of gas against Denver, Denver's going to bury them. So I don't know what they can do. I don't know if there's something that can be done other than Spencer Dinwiddie looked like just absolute. It's too bad because Stone was supposed to be on.
Oh, he's barbecue chicken.
Yeah, but he wasn't playing like that before today's game. He looked like he had aged 10 years since the last New Orleans game, which was 2 days ago. And I think that's what threw everything out of loop for Darvin Ham. He didn't know who to rely on. And then, of course, as soon as, you know, this is actually not the reverse blessing in disguise. When Torian Prince hits a couple of shots from three at the beginning of the game, that's actually a bad thing because Darvin Ham starts getting a false sense of security and says, okay, I'm going to play this guy 20-plus minutes. And then all of a sudden we see Rui sitting on the bench for 10 straight minutes. He can't get back in the rhythm. And now the team that's now what, 19, 20, and 6 since they've started? Now
I think
that
the
guy,
Lakers have something like an over 650 winning percentage when Rui plays more than 30 minutes and Prince plays less than 28.
Okay, so today, based off those numbers, Torian Prince – played 22 minutes and Rui played 36. We might be, according to those stats, that he did what he was supposed to do. But I think Rui should have played actually 40 minutes tonight. I think he was sitting down a little too much.
You think he got too many blows?
I did. I think that, and maybe the 13, 14 point lead might have kind of tricked him. And that's the part there that I think Darvin Ham needs to learn from this game. He needs to be careful. Don't let a lead dictate
how go to you your run. Head.
Yes. Continue to go with your normal rotations. If there's foul trouble, sure, I understand that part. You're going to have to adjust. But the Lakers need to figure out a way to make sure that their five are fresh at the right moments. And that's it. And that might not be enough, especially if Jamal and those guys start hitting clutch shots towards the end, which is what's killed the Lakers the last three games against Denver. They just can't close these guys out. It's like a closer that hasn't been able to throw that third strike. You know, they get the 0-2 quick, then they can't get a shutdown pitch to get their the batter out. That's kind of what happens sometimes to the Lakers when it comes to Denver. But if I had to do a motivational speech for the Laker team, I'd be like, guys, I know it's probably not good to think ahead here, but I'm going to be honest. You guys beat Denver, and you guys have a very good shot at winning it all. And let that be what carries you. If they don't win, then you were supposed to lose to Denver. So in a lot of ways, not really all the way, but in some ways, I should say, this is a no-lose situation for the Lakers. They're supposed to lose. So if they end up winning, they shock the world. They could go on a run. LeBron's legacy turns a whole different legacy, if you can believe it, if he makes one last run to a title here. It's that crazy to think of that, if that is what happens. And I guess we're going to have to wait and see on Saturday. But
and again, Joe, just to give an update, Willie Green after the game said that Zion had to leave with what their Pelicans are calling left leg soreness.
Left leg soreness. Mm-hmm. Pulled quad, pulled.
Yeah, soft tissue injury sounds okay, like so it. Yeah. Must have been,
okay. Maybe it was the there's a muscle here between the groin and the front part of your thigh. I've had issues with that a few times when I've not been stretched out enough.
Yes.
That probably was what popped. Because I thought it might have been some kind of a abdominal thing, because he kind of was doing this, but man, that's just a bummer. He's gonna have to drop another 20 pounds. I don't know if he can be as explosive as he is with that much weight.
He's going to have to learn to find that 240, 250 that Barkley played at, where he was just. He was just a ferocious monster that you were not going to get in front. Like LeBron took a shot. I thought he might have hyperextended his elbow on that charge. But yeah, Joe, he's going to have to lose about 20 more pounds. Like he can't play at 270, even 260. It's too much.
So if he does lose the weight, he's also going to need to work on his game even more. I don't know. There's a future here for New Orleans if he ends up deciding that he likes basketball, wants to be great. Other than that, I don't know what else they can do. But the Lakers did win tonight. Sorry, go ahead, Sean. You were going to say?
No. I'm not going to say that now. I might save it for next year.
Okay, good. The Lakers did beat the Pelicans tonight, 110-106. This is the second time in a row in New Orleans. We did discuss earlier on in the show that the Lakers should fly directly to Denver, but I don't know if they were prepared for that. I think they would have had to have seen the future there a little bit, maybe packed for a week and a half. But with that, again, I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. We had a merging of the post game and the nightcap. Normally, this is not the case, but again, sometimes the evening calls for it, especially for those who are living on the East Coast, like Sean. It's much easier for them to have a normal sleep pattern. Now, I'm thinking about people's sleep. I'm not really thinking about anything else. It's difficult to watch the show at 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. But again, I want to thank everybody in Australia, the Philippines, Canada for being here tonight. We're going to be back, obviously, between now and Saturday's first game against the Denver Nuggets. If you guys have any questions, any concerns towards us, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Please send them. Riddell, I know you're really good at sending those emails. Keep them coming if you have anything to say. It makes Gerald very, very happy. And of course, you want to directly connect with me. You can contact me on my Twitter X, which is Joe Soro LFB. My Instagram is Sinblades_Turf. And if you want to reach me on Facebook, it's Johnny Blade with the Punisher logo. Until Saturday, or I should say until tomorrow, adieu. Yeah, you know, I'm talking to a Canadian, French Canadian, possibly, maybe a little French there. So I bid you all adieu until tomorrow and the next day and the next day until Saturday. Have a great evening. And until next time.